If you think we live in a divisive culture today, listen to this. In first century Israel, the Jews hated the Romans. The Romans brutalized the Jews. The Jews despised the half-breed, you know, biracial Samaritans. In return, the Samaritans really kind of scorned the Jews as well. And the conservative Pharisees constantly quarreled with the liberal Sadducees. You know, racism, religious discrimination, name-calling, riots, mass killings, hate. Sound kind of familiar? You know, in the midst of all this, a guy by the name of Jesus of Nazareth came along. He was the man with the silver tongue. This podcast is about how Jesus's shrewd silver tongue drove his agenda forward in an extremely divisive culture. It's also about how we can apply the same principles Jesus used in our culture. This is Brad Bright. Welcome to the God is Issue podcast, where we show how God is the issue in every issue. Have you ever considered what it would be like to argue with Jesus? You know, many tried, none succeeded. Question is, how did he do it? I mean, I know he is the Son of God, but how did he do it? Now, admittedly, he got a head start on all of us. Luke chapter 2 says that at 12 years old, everyone who heard him was amazed. But folks, today, not only will I show you how Jesus did it, I will begin to show you how to apply three of the basic techniques that Jesus used. Why? So you can become more like Jesus. You see, Jesus was a master storyteller. He was a shrewd questioner. And he was a master of spin. He could and he did outspend the best politicians and the best lawyers of his day. If ever there was a man with a silver tongue, it was Jesus of Nazareth. So let's start first by talking about Jesus, the master storyteller. You see, Jesus was primarily a storyteller, not a preacher. How many of Jesus's sermons, how many sermons did he preach in the Gospels? How many? One. The Sermon on the Mount. It was a great sermon. But how many parables, how many stories did he tell? Well, somewhere between 30 to 50, depending upon how you define a parable. You see, in all my years of public speaking, do you know how many people have come back to me and said, Brad, I never forgot that point that you made. How many people have come back and told me that? Well, about zero. No, what I always hear is, Brad, I've never forgotten that story you told. Of course, that means they've never forgotten the point of the story either. Why? Stories are sticky. Our brains like stories, don't they? You see, if I understand a story, I understand the point. Remember in Luke chapter 10, an expert of the law came to Jesus and said, "What, Master, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replied, "Love God and love your neighbor." And so the man responded, but who is my neighbor? How did Jesus respond? Did he say, well, your neighbor is... No, he didn't do that. He told a story. He told a story of the Good Samaritan. Folks, when our kids were growing up, I would read the short story, The Great Stone Face by Nathaniel Hawthorne, to them about once a year. It's a short story, and I could do it in about 20 minutes. Now, I could have told my kids that the Christian life isn't about what you do, it's about what you focus on. Instead, I read them a story about a young man named Ernest, who in the end became like what he focused on, the great stone face on the mountain. At the end, I would ask, well, what does that teach you about the Christian life? My son was the salutatorian of his graduating high school class. Can you guess what his salutatory speech was about? Yeah, that's right. The great stone face. You become like what you focus on. That's why Jesus told stories, folks. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. But then he told the story of the Good Samaritan, which was love your neighbor as yourself in story form. See, Jesus could have explained that a true neighbor was a person who extends kindness even to his enemies. But instead, he told a story. The despised half-breed Samaritan was the neighbor. The highly respected priests and Levites were not. I can assure you, the audience never forgot who their true neighbor was. Let me ask you a question. Can you think of a story that has impacted your life? Do you know what the most powerful story is that you can tell? It's your story. Can you think of a story from your experience that might cause another person to possibly reconsider who Jesus is? What's the most significant life change you have ever experienced as you have been a follower of Jesus? What comes to mind? That's the story you want to tell. Folks, stories are powerful. Your personal story is even more powerful. Use it. That leads me to my second point, Jesus, the shrewd questioner. You see, not only did Jesus use stories, he asked questions. That is why after he finished telling the story of the Good Samaritan, he asked one question. What was that question? Who was the neighbor? Was it the priest, or the Levite, or the Samaritan? And the answer clearly was the hated Samaritan. The despised half-breed Samaritan was the good neighbor. Now, the question is, why did Jesus finish with a question? It's because he wanted his audience to process his words. You know, a question is kind of like when you're fishing, you get the fish to take the hook, and once the fish takes the hook, you kind of give it a little tug just to set the hook in the fish's mouth. That's what the question does. The question sets the hook. But folks, questions also allow you to control the conversation. One of the first techniques I learned in sales when I was in college as a young man selling books door to door one summer was this question. May I ask you a question? As a general rule, people would pause and wait for me to ask the next question. You see, a good question is powerful. It can put you back in control of the conversation. It can redirect a conversation, or it can drive home the point of a story. Questions, when properly framed, are as powerful as any story. Now, friend, let me give you for instance. I'm pro-life, but I don't want to get in people's faces about it, not because I want to be a good guy, but because I know you can't convince a person against their will, right? We all know that. So instead of making a statement or trying to drive them, I ask them a question. See, if a young woman says, well, I'm pro-choice, I just nicely ask, so who do you think God loves more, the mother or her unborn child? And then I stop and I let the question burrow itself deep into her soul. You see, if she views God as a God of love, this is a powerful question. You see, a good question allows a person to reach a conclusion for themselves. Now they own it. Do you remember Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? You know, it was a safe question to get the disciple discussing who is Jesus. It stirred the pot. But the point of the first question was to set up his second question, which was, who do you say I am? And Peter responded, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Do you think Peter owned it? See, Jesus could have simply told them that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah. Why do you think Jesus used a question to accomplish the exact same goal? Do you notice what I just did? I didn't tell you why Jesus used questions. I asked you why you thought Jesus used questions. Of course, I set up that question with the prior question, do you think Peter owned it? Why did I do that? I did it because I know that if I ask a question rather than making a statement, your brain is far more likely to engage with the topic that I want you to engage with. And then when you give the answer, you own it. Folks, never forget that principle. If you can take a statement and turn it into a question, it's far more engaging. So may I ask you one more question? Can you think of one truth statement about Jesus that you can turn into a question? I mean, for example, instead of saying Jesus is the Son of God, ask, do you think Jesus was telling the truth when he claimed to be the Son of God? I just did two things with that question. One, I more effectively engaged my listener. And two, in this case, I set up Jesus as the authority, not me. You see, because I'm not the authority. And Jesus is, and that's important to keep in mind. But do you see the power of questions? They engage your listener, and they naturally drive the direction of the conversation. So folks, be more like Jesus. Learn to ask good questions. And that leads me to my third point. Jesus, the master of spin. Jesus could outspin the most gifted politicians and lawyers of his day. He could reframe a conversation in a heartbeat. And to do that, he used stories, he used questions, he used statements, he even used accusations. And he used them to trap his opponents in corners that they could not escape from. He was the shrewdest of the shrewd. It's no wonder that why in Matthew chapter 10, he told his disciples to be as shrewd as a snake, but as innocent as a dove. What was he really saying? He was saying, be more like me. Do you remember in John chapter 8, when the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught in the act of adultery? And they said, the law says we should stone her. What do you say? Now, if he answered yes, the masses would turn against him. If he answered no, the religious leaders would accuse him of violating the law. You see, they had Jesus pinned in a corner, right? No. You see, Jesus never felt obligated to answer a gotcha question. Instead, he refrained by saying, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. Folks, that's called spin. And the Pharisees never saw it coming. You see, Jesus did this again and again and again throughout the Gospels. But the question is, how can we apply what we learned from Jesus about, you know, how to respond to verbal attacks and traps in a modern culture? Let me give you a couple quick examples that are pretty short. The next time someone asks, are you a Christian nationalist? Folks, do not respond, no. Do not get defensive. Instead, reframe like Jesus did with the Pharisees. They're trying to trap you. Never forget that. So instead of saying no, respond this way. If you're accusing me of being a Nazi, I find that highly, highly offensive. But if you're asking, do I love Jesus and do I love my country? The answer is yes. Don't you love America? Don't you love Jesus? He loves you. Folks, you see how I turned the tables? I simply reframed the question and I made it about Jesus. Folks, if someone accuses you of white privilege, respond, that's your truth, not mine. If you're saying racism is real, I agree. However, if you're saying that a black man created in the image of God cannot become a United States senator, the president, or Supreme Court justice, I disagree. If you're saying that a black woman created in the image of God cannot become vice president or our major billionaire media mogul, I disagree. If you're saying the son of a Hispanic migrant worker who's created in the image of God cannot become a NASA astronaut and fly into space, I disagree. Are you really implying that minorities created in the image of God cannot succeed in America? You see what I did? I turned the tables, I reframed, but I didn't just do that. I injected God back into the middle of the conversation in a way that gives real value to minorities, and it holds up God as the good guy. Folks, if you give it some thought and kick it around with like-minded Christian friends, you can reframe every cultural issue out there. And in the process, make God the issue just like Jesus did. I encourage you to begin having those conversations with your friends today. You see, Jesus was a master of storytelling, of asking questions, and of reframing the issue, which is what we often call spin. You see, he was shrewd. He had a silver tongue. But folks, he always had one agenda. And that was to make God the Father the issue. So folks, be more like Jesus. Tell more stories. Ask more questions. Practice reframing. And make God the issue. You can do it. And folks, we can help. If you have a specific issue you really can't figure out how to reframe, go to brightmedia.org, click on the contact button, and send me a message. I'll see what I can do to help. But folks, never, ever, ever forget that God really is the issue. In every issue. This is Brad Bright. Thanks for joining me today. And as always, if you found this podcast helpful, please like, subscribe, or share. Thanks. God bless.